This morning, as I said to you, I want to begin a series talking about the eagle. And as I've read this, and I did this, as I said, a few years back, and I was amazed at what I learned, not just about the bird itself, because it is an interesting bird. You're going to know more about eagles when I'm done with this than you ever wanted to know. The next time it comes up on Jeopardy, you can scream at the television screen, I know the $2,000 question, just give it to me, because you'll know everything about eagles. But the thing about this bird that is just so miraculous to me is that the characteristics that it represents are so much of what it is that God wants us to be in our lives. The eagle has no natural predator. There is no animal that is the natural enemy of the eagle. As a matter of fact, when it's in flight, no other bird will attack an eagle except for another eagle, just because of the power of this bird. The Bible talks about the eagle at least 25 times in the scripture. The only bird that's mentioned more would be the dove, which is the representation of the Holy Spirit. Virtually all of these are in the Old Testament. Only two of them, found in the book of Revelation, written by John, are what happens after when Jesus comes. And so the eagle, though, is something that as we look at it, the Bible tells us that the way that the eagle lives and the attributes of the eagle are what we should desire for our lives. But what I want you to do this morning as we're talking about this, because you're going to think, well, wait, what is this, like a National Geographic special or something? Aren't I in church? I want you to understand what I'm saying to you in the natural, but then take everything that you hear and move it into the spiritual. Okay, that's very important. So I don't want you to leave here, as I said, knowing about a bird. What I want you to do is to be able to understand the characteristics of the bird so that you can then say, okay, God, how is it you want me to live my life? Because that's what the Bible does. It gives us this in order to be able to understand and to be able to walk in those things. Well, the book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse, is the most well-known of all of the scriptures in the Bible. And I'll just read it to you. And this is just the introduction this morning, so I won't go quite as long. Anybody believe that? No, I didn't think so. I just say that every once in a while just to see if you're paying attention. But here's what Isaiah says, 40:31. He said, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. This is a verse that a lot of people use when they're in the midst of things that are difficult for them. They hold on to this verse and saying, those that wait upon the Lord. Now, what's the worst word in that whole scripture right there? There's a worst word in there. Wait. I hate waiting. It's my favorite line from The Princess Bride. I hate waiting. Waiting's hard. It's not easy. Why? Because we don't have something that we want. I want this now. This is when I want this. I've told you, we live in a world today where we stand and scream at the microwave. Come on, let's go. We can eat in minutes what used to take hours. Everything happens so fast. We drive too fast. Not me. I was looking for the lightning bolt there. Okay, I'm all right. We do. We're in such a hurry to do everything. And yet the Bible says those that wait on the Lord, it's when we wait on Him that we receive the strength. It's when we wait on Him that we're able to soar like on the wings of an eagle. It's when we just sit back and just allow God to be God that He can move in our lives. It's not an easy thing to do. But as we look at this, the power and the beauty and the ability not just to survive but to thrive in difficult things is what sets an eagle apart from so many other birds. The power, the beauty, and the ability not just to survive, but to actually thrive. How many of you over the last 6-8 months have had a difficult situation that you've had to go through? Let me just see your hands. Okay. So virtually all of us have to at one time or another walk through a difficult situation. The eagle lives in an environment, and I'm not going to talk much about this today. I'll talk about this another Sunday. But the environment that an eagle lives in is not a particularly hospitable one. It doesn't live, you know, in fields and those kinds of things. It doesn't live in places where it's easy to get along. And yet the eagle thrives where it lives. The power of the eagle for us is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have in our lives. So when we talk about power in our lives, it comes from what God gives us. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." And so many times as Christians, I think we sort of just try to get by from episode to episode. We try to survive from place to place. You know, I got through that, now what? Now what's coming at me? You get yourself thinking that way sometimes. And in reality, as Christians, we have been given the power of God to be able to overcome what it is that we have to deal with. What we have to do is to claim that right. We have to embrace and accept that into our lives. You say, "Well, Pastor Dave, that's real easy to say when we're all sitting here and we're hugging and kissing and drinking coffee and eating Danish." Thank you, John. Perfect. Just like that. Just jamming that whole thing. I thank you. John's always my man. If I look to him, I know I've got it right. But what we're called to do every day, and even the most difficult things, is just to simply wait on him. Isaiah says, if we wait on the Lord, that we will rise up. So the power that we see in the eagle is the power of the Holy Spirit in us. The beauty of what we see is the love that God gives us. That's the beauty. And we see in Matthew 20, in Mark 12, in Luke 10, the greatest commandments that we are given are what? To love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I'm missing one. With all your heart. I miss the heart. And then it says, what's the second greatest commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. To love the people around us. That's the beauty of what it is that God has placed in each of us. Because he loves me, I can go and I can give that love to someone else. That's why here at Remnant Life Church, we talk so much about what life is. Because if we wander around life and we're not being loving, if we're not showing people kindness, if we're not doing things that are going to demonstrate who Jesus is, why do we call ourselves Christians? Why do we even bother if it's not going to make any difference in our lives? But the beauty of God's love is what it is that we have to be able to give to others. And then the ability to survive and to thrive is the victorious life that we can have every single day because of God. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, Paul's writing this to the church in Rome, he says, in all of these things that we've been talking about, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Folks, I don't want that just to be words that we read. I don't want that to be just words. I want us to be able to walk in the fullness of who God has called us to be. Many of you right now, because I've talked to you, many of you right now are walking in some very tough places. Can you still be a conqueror because of God? Not because of you. It's not your own strength that you're going to be able to walk through these things. It's because of who God is in us. It's because of the power of the shed blood of Jesus in us. You say, well, what do I have to do? Well, the only thing you have to do is just accept that. To just declare who Jesus is and to say, God, I want you to be a part of my life. I want that in my life. And he's faithful. Now, let me talk about the eagle for a minute because this is cool. Eagles are really cool. How many of you are Gary Larson fans? The Far Side? You know what I'm talking about? The Far Side cartoon? All-time favorite. All-time favorite. It's got these big, huge birds sitting in trees with sunglasses and Walkmans and all this, and they're just kind of sitting there. And the caption says, birds of prey. No, they're cool. Birds of prey know they're cool. So that's, I just see an eagle sitting up there like that. Birds of prey, he knows he's cool. There are over 60 species of eagles in the world. Now, a lot of people think that the ones that we have is it. There are 60 of them in the world. All but 14 of them are in Eurasia and Africa. Most of them hanging out down there. If you saw pictures of them, you go, what in the world is that? That's not an eagle. Yeah, there's 60 different varieties, and they're all different sizes, different. 9 of them live in Central and South America, 9 species of eagle. 3 of them are in Australia. And then Canada and us, we have 2. Now, the most famous that you know, Paul, hit my first picture. That's the one we know, the bald eagle. I mean, everybody knows, because this thing has become such an emblematic element of who we are. Go ahead and hit the second one. And just the magnificence of this thing. I mean, that is just, that's just a cool bird. I don't care what anybody else says. They're going to get killed by the Broncos tonight, but I think they're really an achiever. But the characteristics of this thing are just amazing, and we're going to talk next week about how the eagle has been present in all of world history and about how different nations and cultures have used the eagle as a symbol of who they are, and of course, so do we. Give me my third one. The second one that we have is the golden eagle. Now, how many of you saw this online this week? Did you see the pictures of that thing? Did you see this or not? There was a guy, and hunters I know do this, but these guys will set the cameras up that are motion activated, and the deer comes by, and the deer's going, "Hi, come shoot me," and then it runs off somewhere. Well, somebody set this thing up, and there was a deer that came, and the thing captured a golden eagle attacking this deer. Now, it wasn't a huge deer. I guess it was like a baby deer, wasn't it? Did you see this? Well, the guy saw the pictures. He went out to look, and when he got and he found out where the deer was, it was like a pelt. I mean, there was nothing left. The entire deer was gone, consumed by this eagle. These things can be really large. And then, of course, here's the last one. You see this one every Sunday when you come in. That's our eagle. That's the one that's on our banner out there, the eagle swooping in. So they're magnificent animals. So the bald eagle is the one, though, that we know the most of in our culture. But there are a lot of them. Now, the physical characteristics of this bird are incredible. They have incredibly powerful legs. These legs have tremendous muscle strength in them, along with the talons at the end of the toes. Do eagles have toes? I don't know if that's what you call them or not. But the talons, and we're going to talk about them specifically because there is something incredible about that, and there's an incredible spiritual lesson in the talon of the eagle. Once an eagle has grabbed its prey, there is nothing it can do. There's no way it's going to shake itself out. There's no fish that can flop enough. These birds have been seen carrying animals that weigh as much as two times more than they do. That's how powerfully strong they are. The martial eagle in Africa has eyesight that is 3.5 times greater than what we have. So from 2 miles away, it can see a rabbit running along the ground. Dad, how would you like to have those eyes when you're spotting your deer? That thing wouldn't even get out of the woods, and boom, you'd have it on your car. I always like to encourage my father-in-law with killing things. I think that's... That's right. The stamina that enables this bird to be able to soar for hours on end, catching the drafts as it just hovers and flies and soars. It can reach speeds up to 200 miles an hour when it's diving to hit its prey. No bird, as I said, will challenge an eagle when it's in flight, except for another eagle. As magnificent as this is, and as much as the Bible tells us we want to incorporate this into our lives, there are other birds too. And that's what I want to just talk about briefly before we quit this morning. Because there's an ornithological society that comes to churches. You know what ornithological is? That's the study of birds, is what that is. But there's an ornithological society that's called the church, because really the church is made up of all kinds of different birds. Few of them, now don't be ugly with each other. I saw that. Few of them are actually very healthy for the church. As a matter of fact, there are things that we need to be aware of and on guard. Last week was our one-year anniversary. I preached last week about being on guard, about things that would want to come to the church and cause difficulties and problems. We talked about cliques and jealousy and selfishness and gossip. We talked about those things. Well, it presents itself in a number of different ways, and there are a lot of birds that try to get into churches as well. I just want you to be aware of some of these so we can just kind of keep our minds on them. Here's the first one. Chickens come to church a lot. Chickens are birds. You're going to laugh through this whole thing, I can tell right now. That's all right. Just giggle away. I don't care. Chickens are generally timid birds, as you know. Have you ever seen the Rocky movies? The first Rocky, remember what the guy does. He takes them, throws them in the corner, lets the bird loose, and Balboa has to run around trying to catch this chicken. Well, that wasn't CGI. That was a real bird, because that's the way they are. They're skittish. They're very timid. They seldom fly. Now, I know you've all seen chickens flapping their arms, but they never get more than about this high up off the ground. And then they dive down again. In the church, though, a chicken is usually someone with a very low self-image of themselves. They don't like to get involved in things. And as a matter of fact, they're usually very hesitant even to receive healing in their lives because it's an identity of who they are. You know, there are a lot of folks that walk around that really need God to touch their lives, and yet they won't let that happen because it's who they are. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that just, you know, that this guy really needs to get straightened out, but boy, they resist it. They hesitate because this is me. This is who I am. And in reality, God tells us, no, I want you to be more. I want you to always be increasing. Always want you to be growing. The pigeon is soft and cuddly. Now, pigeons get a bad rap because if you've got a statue anywhere near where you are, pigeons are going to be there, and it's nasty. So, but that's not what we're talking about. Pigeons are soft and cuddly. But the thing about pigeons is they don't like to really get involved in things until it's already going, and then they like to step in. So they're not really a part of things. You're not looking at each other, are you, through this? I don't want you to be, okay. But you know what I do want you to do? Because I've done this as I've read this. I want you to ask God if there's any parts of this in your own life that he may want to reveal to you. There are crows that come to church. Now, the crow is a dangerous one, because the crow is the one that wants what it wants, regardless. And it will tear through anything or anyone to get to it. The crow is also the person that really, really loves to catch the leader being wrong about something. That's a crow. Peacocks. Now, that's got to be nice. Peacocks have to be nice, right? Peacocks are flashy. They're big. They're beautiful. Peacocks strut. I was going to do my Mick Jagger, but that would really be embarrassing because that's what they say. You didn't come to church this morning and think you're going to hear the name Mick Jagger, did you? Peacocks, though, tend to be very overly ambitious about things. They tend to be filled with pride. Now, you've heard me talk about pride so often because pride is a vehicle that Satan uses to bring just about everything else that it can into your lives. But a peacock is somebody that constantly needs to be stroked. They need to have attention. They're beautiful, but they're always destructive. Always. The spirit of Jezebel will come into a church through a peacock. Through a peacock. You say, what does that mean? We'll talk about that at some point. I'll tell you about that. How about a pelican? It's kind of a strange bird with the huge beak. Goes down, scoops up the water, gets the fish inside of it. Well, a pelican really only just wants to satisfy its own appetite. It's the only thing it's really concerned about. It never gives out. It only ever just takes in. Feeds on the outcome of what it is that goes on, but never participates. All right, here's one that I know you're going to think, well, this has got to be good. How about an owl? Owls are important. Owls have wisdom, don't they? Very wise animals, so we say. They never seem to know what's going on, though, because every time you say something to them, they always say the same thing. Who? Who? You'll get that on the way home. That's all right. If I'd done a better owl, that might have made more sense. The problem with owls, though, is that so often the owl is actually associated with a cult. And when you identify an owl in a church, many times it's someone that believes that they have great wisdom, but in actuality, they don't. They're bringing something that's not true. They're bringing something false. Two more. One more. The canary. Now, what could possibly be wrong with a canary? Wouldn't you want some canaries? Thank you. That was a canary. Wouldn't you want canaries in your church? They're beautiful. They're such pretty songbirds. They sing such beautiful songs. Then they're always gifted. Canaries are always gifted. But the problem with canaries is they get caught in their cage, and they never want to leave that place. And the cage is actually their gift. It's the thing that they do really well. And so when we say, okay, God, who is it among me or what is it about me that I need to be aware of these things? Am I somebody that doesn't like to participate? Am I one of those guys that only wants what I want when I want it? Do I always have to be stroked and loved and be told how good a job I'm doing? Do I have a gift that I know I'm really good at, and yet that gift becomes everything to me and it holds me and keeps me in place? When in reality, God says, you know what? If you take the attributes of the eagle, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you have the beauty of God's love that's a part of you, and if you have the strength because of what he's done for us to be able not only to survive but to overcome, then the majesty of what that appears is the majesty that God wants to give to us. His majesty. His majesty. Now, each of these birds that I've shared with you here this morning, we need to be on guard against those spirits, but not against the people. Because the church is not comprised of all eagles. That's what our goal should be. That's what we should want to be, is to come to the place of saying, you know, I really, there's just elements of that that I want to incorporate into my life, but that's not what the church is filled with. We're filled with all the other birds. And we all have components of those birds in us. And so here's the most important thing when we look at this, is that when somebody comes to us, when a person walks into a church, the only thing that they know is the love of God. The only thing that they know is the love of God. Because that's what he has for us. Jesus said when he was there, you remember this, he was talking to the disciples, and he said, listen, fellas, because he was being questioned, why are you letting these people hang out with you? Why do you have a prostitute that's hanging out with you? Why do you have a tax collector, one of the biggest thieves in the world? Even your board of directors are a bunch of guys that hang out down by the docks. Why don't you get some like Greeks or get some of the Pharisees and Sadducees to come in? Those guys have all the head knowledge. And Jesus said to them, guys, listen, the well don't need a doctor. It's the sick that need a place to come and to be healed. Now, how many of you ever visit somebody in the hospital? If you've ever been to somebody in the hospital, how is it that you feel when you leave there? And this is just me. Now, see, I didn't feel this with you, all right? So I promise, I did not feel this with you. I didn't feel this with you, all right? I promise. But when I leave a hospital, I kind of feel like I need to take a shower, you know? I mean, I just, it's all sick people in there. It just, blech. I didn't feel that with you, I promise. You know what they made me do? Because you saw, I had to put on the robe and the whole thing and the shoes and all of that. She was dealing with a skin issue there. I don't want to get into all the details. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. But I had to get the gown and the mask and the whole thing. It was kind of sweet. I had like a new wardrobe when I left. But when I leave a hospital, I feel like there's so many sick people all around. But you know what? That's exactly what a church should be if it's healthy. Does that make any sense to you? But it's the way it should be. God didn't say, I only want you to minister and to love the people that are like you, that think like you do, that feel like you do, that have it all together. God said, when people come, just love them. Jesus, when he looked at the crowds, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, what did he have on the crowds when he looked at them? What was the word? Compassion. He had compassion for them. Folks, that's what we need for each other this morning. Each and every one of us in here need compassion from the people around us. And our heart's desire at Remnant Life is that this is a place where God's love is understood and where it's felt and where it's given. To love you right where you are right now. Now, does that mean if you're doing things in your life that are contrary to the Bible that we don't want you to change those? No. We want you to come and live the way that God tells us to live. If there are things in your life that you're struggling with, this is a good place to come. Not because we have all the answers, but because we can point you to the one that does. The Apostle Paul, who wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament, had people that followed him around. And they would want to do what he does. They wanted to know what he knew. And I love what Paul said to them. He said, look, guys, don't follow me. Follow the one I follow. Follow the one that I follow. And that's what we want here. And as we learn over the next several weeks what it is to be strong in our lives, to be victorious, to have the strength to soar like an eagle, it's going to mean for some that you may need to examine things in your life and say, God, should this be a part of my life? Is this keeping me grounded? Is this keeping me a chicken where I can't fly? Is this keeping me a pelican where the only thing I care about is what I get, but I don't give out to anybody else? Is this keeping me a crow? Where, you know what, that's what I want, and I'll go through anybody I have to get it. Or can I be like this majestic bird that God created, that is powerful, that is beautiful, and survives and overcomes the things that are tough in its life? That's my prayer for you this morning and for each of us, that as we go through the course of the week, there are going to be things that are going to come that aren't going to be easy. There are going to be things that we're going to have to deal with that we're not going to have an answer for. There are going to be relationships that we're in and that, you know what, it's the same thing over and over again. And how do I deal with that? God says, listen, all I want you to do is just love them. Just love them, because that's what I did for you. It's not tough. I didn't say it was easy, but it's not tough. Show people around you what it is that God's given you. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, God, that you give us your word that we can learn from. God, that you give us even examples in nature of how it is that we're to live. And Father, I pray that over these next several weeks, as we go through this series together, Father, may we begin to understand what it means to be able to soar on the wings of an eagle. Now, Satan wants to keep us grounded. He wants us to only focus on those things that don't let us be who we are. Father, you have come that we might have life and to have it to the full. You have come, Father, so that we can be set free from the chains and the shackles. You came, Father, so that we can love one another because of you. And so I pray that over each of my brothers and sisters here. I thank you again for every person that came this morning. God, I thank you for our new family members. And God, however many times we see them in the future, Lord, it doesn't matter. We're going to love them and continue to pray for them because now they're a part of us because we are a part of you. And so we thank you for that. Bless each and every person. Keep us safe as we go. And bring us back again next week as we look forward to a wonderful time together. It's in our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name that we pray all these things. And the church said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning.